views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
When it comes to transforming our lives, we need to have a warrior mindset. Angela Watson Robertson, the Reinvention Warrior, is here for the next hour to help you become just that. Join Angela as she fights for you to become a Reinvention Warrior and transform all areas of your life. Plus, she'll talk to the best masters in the transformation business and discover their tips and tools for positive change. Stay tuned, because you're listening to Masters of Reinvention with Angela Watson Robertson, the ultimate guide to changing your life. Get ready, because that change starts now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Angela Watson Robertson, and welcome to Masters of Reinvention, your ultimate guide to changing your life. I'm so glad you're here. Each month on this show, I interview a master in the art of reinventing your life and your health to help inspire you and empower you to live your best life. Today, I have Georgina Cannon with me to discuss her recent book, The Third Circle Protocol. And for the next 60 minutes, we'll be exploring how you can learn to relate to yourself and others in a healthy, vibrant, and evolving way so that all of your relationships can be more pleasurable and life-affirming. Georgina Cannon is an author and award-winning board-certified clinical hypnotist, NLP and CBT trainer and clinician, and lecturer at the School for Continuing Studies at the University of Toronto. She has her doctorate in metaphysical counseling and is recognized as the public face of hypnosis in Canada and a respected member of the mainstream health community. Georgina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a great, this is my first Facebook interview. I'm so excited.
Oh, well, great. Yes, we are streaming on Facebook Live as well. So glad to have you. First, I wanted to say I absolutely love your book. I've got it right here, The Third Circle Protocol. I just finished it this past week. Thanks so much for putting your work out into the world. It was a really good read, and I already can tell there's some areas and different relationships in my life that I'm going to apply the protocol. So thank you so much for writing the book.
Good. Thank you. I'm glad you liked it. It's important that we understand how we relate to each other, because we're in relationships all the time, as you know.
Yes. As you mentioned, the relationship doesn't have to be an intimate relationship, or you know, mother-daughter or parent, even relationships with anyone we interact with when we're out in the world.
Right. So even when we go into the supermarket, for instance, and we, you know, hand over our groceries to the cashier, that's a relationship. She expects something from us, which is money, and we expect something from her, which is efficiency and usually, pleasantness. We expect her to be servicing and looking as if she enjoys having us there. You know, she's greeting us in a way. So we have expectations and she has expectations of us. And if those aren't met, then we get let down and we get irritable, which happens everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So let's dive right in and talking about how the Third Circle Protocol can help improve the relationships of all of our listeners. Mm-hmm. So if someone comes to you and is a client and says, hey, you know, I want to improve, you know, this type of relationship or any relationship, let's just right now apply it to any type of relationship in their life. What would you say would be the first step that you could apply towards any kind of relationship and improving it?
Okay. The first thing we have to do is have a relationship with ourselves. And we have to know what our values are, and what our priorities are, what our absolute bottom line needs are in every relationship, what we would like to have, our wants, but also what we're prepared to give. So it's key that we understand all that about a relationship with ourselves. So if someone says to me, well, my values are kindness, respect, integrity. So I go through the list they've given me and I say, are you kind to yourself? Do you have integrity with your thoughts and your actions? Do you respect yourself? And quite often they'll go, not really. So that's where boundaries don't exist. Because if we don't live our values, then if we don't know who we are, then how can anybody else know? That's the first step.
Yeah, I like that. Really starting with our relationship with ourselves. And I think that often people do overlook that. They think, well, I'm really good to everyone else. But then when you turn around and ask them, hey, how do you treat yourself? Do you treat yourself as well as you treat others? If that answer is no, then I like how you're saying, let's go back and look at the relationship to yourself.
Yeah.
And often clients tell me that they go from relationship to relationship. You talk about this a little bit in your book. And they seem to be, and this I'm more referring to intimate relationships here, and they seem to be drawn to the same type of person over and over. So obviously you mentioned first start with yourself, but when we do want to take that next step and go into a relationship, an intimate relationship with someone else, but we seem that we keep being drawn to the same type of person and it's not working, why would you say that is? Is there a karmic connection there?
It's interesting. There may be a karmic connection, but I don't let people blame karma. You know, it goes on the list of blaming. You know, you blame your mother, you blame your boss, you blame karma. Come on, you know, we've got to look here first. One of the reasons is that if we're born into a family that's emotionally distant or abusive in some way, that gets stamped to us, into us as a new baby as love. That comes across as love. So we go looking for that sort of person, which is why people who get caught up with people who are abusive, either emotionally or physically, go from one to another because it feels familiar and they get drawn to it. So you have to recognize red flags. So we look at the pattern. We look at the pattern. Sometimes we regress them back to the beginning of that pattern of feeling less than, and where did that start? And then we change that perception because we're changing the blueprint here. If you change the perception, then they start looking for different types of people. So they don't come into the clinic anymore and say, how come I always choose losers, which is what they say. Mm-hmm. Both men and women, by the way, say that.
Yeah. Okay, so really looking at not always just choosing what feels familiar or comfortable. That might be a hook or a trigger from past trauma or past dysfunctional relationship.
Yeah. So when people come in the clinic and say, Georgina, I've got to tell you, I met this fantastic person at a party last night. I think he's my soulmate or she's my soulmate. We instantly connected. It was like we looked into each other's eyes and we knew each other. And part of me is going, oh, okay, let's just see what's familiar here. Because it's not always wonderful.
Okay. You mentioned in your book that we often have an unspoken contract with people that we're in relationship with. What do you mean by unspoken contract?
Okay, let you and I sitting here talking. You have an expectation of me, and I have an expectation of you. We have, at that very basic level, we didn't discuss it. If we were in a family relationship or an intimate relationship, and we hadn't discussed the expectation of the relationship, not just each other, we'd be let down all the time. That's why people get upset. That's why they don't understand what's gone wrong with the relationship. A husband will come in and say, she's not the woman I married. You know, when I got married to her 7 years ago, she wasn't like this. And I ask him if he's the same as he was 7 years ago. We don't renew our connection. We don't come back and say, what is important to you now? What makes you feel loved now? What makes you feel needed now? What are the five things that I can do for you that make you feel loved? We don't say that to our friends, our relations, our loved ones, our lovers. We don't, because we get used to each other and we go along a pattern as if we haven't changed. We take a snapshot and that doesn't work. Everything changes.
Yes, that makes sense. I know that I've seen when I work with clients that sometimes it's just uncomfortable to have those conversations. And so often, especially when you've been in a relationship for a long time, you just want to, you know, not really, quote unquote, rock the boat.
Right.
And have those conversations. But it sounds like you're recommending that often throughout the relationship to check in.
Yeah.
And really check in on those expectations and touch base on how things are going.
Yeah, the other thing is that in the book, there is that tool. In fact, there's a few tools that you can use. Even if you've been in a relationship a long time and it's not very communicative, you can say, you know, sweetheart, I was thinking, I would really love to know five things that make you feel loved. Five things that I can do. And here's a piece of paper writing down, and I'm going to write down five things that make me feel loved. changes the dynamic. It brings it up to date without being threatening in any way. And it really works.
All right, great. Okay, listeners, so if you're having any issues with your relationships, the first step is to go to that person. It sounds like it could be anyone, but it might work really well in an intimate relationship and say, hey, what are the five things or five ways that really help you feel loved?
Mm-hmm.
And then let us know how that works. So question for you about the protocol, the Third Circle Protocol. So you mentioned before we came on the air that this protocol can work to improve all kinds of relationships.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit more about the different types of relationships that this protocol can help with?
Sure. Everything from in-laws to the professionals in your life, the doctor, lawyer, personal trainer, chiropractor, massage therapist, to your boss or your employee. Because if you operate from your value system, that relationship will always reflect your value system and reflect you. So it doesn't matter what they bring in. You set the window for your view of the world. So if your view of the world is through respect and kindness, because that's one of your values, and you will treat everybody that way, you'd be surprised how people change the other end. It's sort of, they get confused at first and then they just fall in line because they feel respected and they feel heard. They feel your kindness. It's okay. Miraculous in a way, especially with teenagers.
So, mm-hmm. So to some extent, it sounds like you're working on yourself.
Yes.
And you're not necessarily having all of these. It's not that you're necessarily saying, hey, I'm going to go to the checkout person at the store and I'm going to have this intimate conversation with them about our expectations of relationship, but you're applying the protocol to yourself.
Yes.
Into your life, into your values and your framework to the point where it will probably affect every relationship, even your relationship with, you know, your mailman or anyone you interact with. Am I right?
Yeah. The only time it's different is when you're dealing with aging parents.
Okay.
And then you have to use their values rather than your own.
So okay, that makes sense.
It's and quite often they're very different.
Okay.
Because we can't force our values onto anyone else.
That makes sense. And we'll get to the aging parents. I have several questions about that. That's okay. A topic I'm very interested in a later segment. But tell me, have you had more luck with one type of relationship over another with the protocol? Is there one relationship that you feel like this has really helped more than another type?
Yes. Married couples with kids, teenagers, particularly teenagers, because they can be very disruptive. They feel they have no power. And this protocol gives them power. It helps them build a new relationship with their parents that everybody's agreed to. Because, again, we take snapshots. So parents are inclined to treat their 15-year-old as if they're 5 years old. And the 5 years old, the 15-year-old wants to be 25-year-old with the freedoms and the, you know, way of life, except they're still 15. So what happens is they form a contract using values, priorities, what they absolutely need. And it's amazing when the kids sit down and really think about what they absolutely need, always respect comes in. To be heard comes in. And the parents are always surprised, which surprises me. And they form this new contract on both sides. So once a teenager realizes that their parent also wants to be heard and also wants respect, and then they form this relationship. And with kids, by the way, we check in more often, sometimes depending on the situation, sometimes it's every month, to make sure this relationship creature, I call it, like a third circle, is healthy and strong and vibrant and still working.
Tell me more what you mean by snapshot that we create.
Well, I don't know if you go to family gatherings at all, but when you go to family gatherings, people usually revert back to what they were. You know, if elder sister is a bully, then she'll be a bully. When parents will say quite often, said, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. They do the should thing. And relationships between siblings comes up as if you were kids. I've seen adult brothers hit each other on the shoulder like they were 10 years old. And we just go back to that. And it's the same thing when we're dealing with people we haven't seen for a while. I had that discussion with my sister, as a matter of fact, who lives in Israel. And we realized that we'd had taken snapshots of each other. I'm the elder, she's the younger sister. And we were still, in some cases, still talking to each other and reacting the same ways we did when we were kids. So she would tell me something that she was trying or experimenting with, and my instinct was to say, oh, don't be silly. You know, I treated her like I did when I was 12, and she was 7 years younger. Once we realized that, it changed the dynamic profoundly, because we now see each other the way we are.
That makes sense.
Yeah, we bring the instinct up, you know, from the subconscious to the conscious. We bring it to the forefront, and we realize what we're doing, and we stop it.
Yeah, I've had that experience as well, where I start acting maybe like my 13-year-old self when I'm back hanging out with my family. So hold that thought. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will explore more about how you can improve all the relationships in your life. You're listening to Masters of Reinvention with Angela Watson Robertson and my guest, Georgina Cannon, author of The Third Circle Protocol. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm the kind of girl who doesn't say a word, who sits at the curb and waits for the world, but I'm about to break out, about to break out. I'm like a crook tonight. I caught you staring at me and I was thinking clearly. Now I'm like a bee and I'm hunting for the honey.
Chances are you've been on your conscious journey for many years and you've learned a lot about manifesting a wonderful life. But if you are like many others on their spiritual paths, you may still have some area of your life where you're feeling stuck. Perhaps you've read many books, attended lots of workshops, listened to many programs, and done plenty of inner work, and yet there is still something you'd like to change. With all the information out there, it may be hard to see the forest for the trees. Do you want to get a bird's eye view of that forest so you are empowered to navigate more effectively? Do you want to know the key to positive change and develop a personalized strategy for creating the changes you desire? Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for a 4-week webinar series beginning January 9th. Start your new year right and embrace the vibration of change. For more information, visit ChristineUpchurch.com. That's ChristineUpchurch.com or call 425-999-9836.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature, or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the deepening retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Your happiness is your choice on Natural Peace Radio. Follow Sarah Van Rieswijk as she addresses the power of emotions. Each month, Sarah covers different topics as she helps listeners activate their energetic spark and create powerful energy and amazing opportunities. Manifest your desires with Natural Peace Radio. For more information on Sarah and her work, visit naturalpeaceliving.com.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Masters of Reinvention. I'm Angela Watson Robertson. My guest today is Georgina Cannon, who is talking with us about her book, The Third Circle Protocol. And we're talking about how you can learn to relate to yourself and others in a healthy, vibrant, and evolving way. But before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact my guest. So, Georgina, could you tell our listeners how they can learn more about you and your work?
Oh, terrific. Thank you. Yes, my website is georginacannon.com. It's all on there.
Okay, great. And they can find your books probably online. Where are your books located?
Amazon. Amazon.com and your local bookstore as well. But most people seem to be ordering from Amazon these days.
Yes. And for those of you that want to find out more about me and connect with me, you can go to my website at angelawatsonrobertson.com. So, Georgina, let's dive back into talking about your book. I have it here, The Third Circle Protocol. So in your book, you mentioned that before you can work on your relationships with others, you first have to work on the relationship with yourself. We talked about this a little bit in the last segment. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit more about how one does that exactly. And tell me a little bit more about when a client comes to you and says, you know, I'm having all these issues and all these relationships, how you may redirect that person to work on themselves.
Well, it's interesting because some human resources people send people to me who are excellent at their job, but they have a hard time working as a team, for instance, or they're not very helpful to people working under them. And they want, that's a piece that's missing for them. So we really, again, start working on themselves. So I understand, want to understand for them, what is it that makes you, you? What are the three buttons that you have very high on you that people can push? So is it I'm not good enough button? Is it the I'm stupid button? Or is it the what I call the death button, which means that you get very easily feel that you're being overlooked? And if someone says something to you and you react instead of act, then you need to separate out from that. And I work with them around that protocol because that's a big one in business. You know, someone can walk past you in the corridor and not say good morning, and you take it as an affront.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good enough. They don't think I'm worth saying hello to. And all of these stories we tell ourselves in our head. But if you have done your homework about understanding what your values are, and again, if it's respect or kindness or to be heard or whatever yours are, and you're not living them, that's when that sort of reaction can come through. Because if you do respect yourself, you might say, that's interesting. Jim didn't say good morning. I wonder what's up with him. You wouldn't say, what have I done? Right? It's a big difference.
Okay. And for our listeners that may be asking this question, how might someone know if they do need to work on the relationship with themselves? You know, are there some signs and symptoms that might show that, hey, you know, you should probably look inward and focus on yourself before you look externally and start working on your relationships with others?
Well, we all live in patterns, and not all patterns are good patterns. So if your relationships, one after another, are not good, you can't keep a job for one reason or another, you can't keep friends, they come and go out of your life. I'm not talking about friends who disappear after 15 or 20 years. I'm talking about people who stay with you for a few months and move on, and it's a habit, it's a pattern. Then you need to look at the source, which is you, and find out why you don't have a relationship with yourself. What is it that's not connecting? What is it where people don't feel valued or don't feel heard? What is it about your relationships with people socially and in business? Because we take ourselves everywhere we go. It's important to remember that. So if the root of the cause is not working, then everything else will not work either. So the root of the cause is you. So let's get to you and let's find out how we can get you comfortable in your skin, knowing who you are and how you are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We have to appreciate it all and understand it all. Then you can move forward and you'll feel more safe. So if you feel safe in your skin, you'll be kinder to everybody else, more allowing. And the whole thing of more allowing is interesting because we want people to take us the way we are. Like we say, I am who I am. And yet we don't take people who they are. I always find that very amusing.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, So I'm quirky. I'm what this, I'm that. That's who I am. Well, so are they. You know, so is this person. Yes, but, well, there's no yes, but. We either take ourselves the way we are and we take them the way they are. What's wrong with that?
So it sounds like a bit of a combination of the living and examined life, really looking for patterns in our life with our relationships, but then also the allowing piece, allowing people to be who they are, just like we're hoping that they will do for us.
That's right. And if you allow people to be who they are, you won't be surprised or shocked or disappointed when they act the way they are.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I get this all the time. Every time I speak to my mother, she complains. Well, your mother has been doing this for how many years, and you're upset still, and you are surprised still. You know, we have to allow people to be who they are.
I see. And some of our listeners, to talk a little bit about career and even just life changes, some of our listeners may be feeling stuck in their life or career. Often people come to me as a coach and say, hey, I'm feeling just really stuck in life and career. We just have a few moments here before we go to another break. But can you mention a few things that our listeners can do to break free or feel less stuck in their life and career, and how maybe the protocol could help with that?
Yes, that helps, because again, and I hate repeating this, but once you understand who you are and what's important to you, then you will start looking for careers or ways of making your current career valuable to you. You'll find a way to make it interesting. It's only when you don't connect, you get bored or you feel stuck. Once you understand your purpose and your feelings about yourself, then you'll find a way to connect with your career. Or if you need to change it, you'll find careers that match who you are. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm, that does make sense. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we will explore more about how you can improve all of the relationships in your life. You're listening to Masters of Reinvention with Angela Watson Robertson and my guest, Georgina Cannon, the author of Third Circle Protocol. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Have you ever said to yourself, I need to let this go? While the phrase sounds effective, what does it actually mean? How do you let something go? Hi, I'm Eve from Elite Tarot, host of the weekly show Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. As an intuitive coach and professional tarot card reader, I work with clients worldwide on using energy effectively to embrace joy. Here's an idea when letting something go. Find a time you won't be disturbed, and just between you and the universe, handwrite a letter sharing all your feelings of anger, hurt, and sadness. At the end, write, however, I choose to live my life with love, joy, and strength, and so for all that, I release you. After you sign your name, immediately shred the letter, noting how your body physically feels as you release something that you've been carrying for oh so long. If you'd like to schedule a session, please visit my site at elitetarot.com. That's ELITETAROT.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Gain powerful insight and practical tools to support you on your spiritual journey. Access your higher self and tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin and now co-host Jeremy Nudell, Walking the Path of Freedom. Andrew is a highly attuned intuitive oracle, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and international radio host. For more about Andrew and his services, visit andrewmartin.energy.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Once I was 7 years old, my mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old.
Welcome back. You're listening to Masters of Reinvention. I'm Angela Watson Robertson. My guest today is Georgina Cannon, who is talking with us about her book, The Third Circle Protocol. And we're talking about how you can learn to relate to yourself and others in a healthy, vibrant, and evolving way. So Georgina, in this segment, I would love to talk a little bit more about the family dynamics and relationships. Mm-hmm. On the commercial break, we were talking a little bit about family and combining families and, even mother-in-laws. So let's talk a little bit more about family gatherings. So family gatherings, as we've discussed, are a big stressor for people, and often people loathe them or avoid them altogether. And this is super timely right now as we're coming up on the holidays. So what can our listeners do to enjoy family gatherings more? And how would the Third Circle Protocol apply to this?
Two ways. First of all, if you remember to allow people to be who they are, you won't be upset or disappointed if someone greets you with, oh, I see you put on weight. And it's, you know, this person is always finding fault with you or everybody. You won't take it personally. You'll just say, oh, there they go again. And you'll just accept it for what it is. That's the way they are. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The other thing to understand about family gatherings is, as we talked about earlier, people go back to their old patterns of interaction, of being subservient or being a bully or whatever. And if you have someone in the family that demands that you are wrong and they're always right, a wonderful phrase to say is, Uncle Bill, I can understand that from where you're sitting, it makes perfect sense. But from where I am, not so much. But I totally get it that from where you're sitting, you probably feel absolutely right. And they've got no way to go with that. And they may go, yes, but. And you say, I get it. I totally get it. And, you know, I promise you, if you use that, it'll save a lot of time and anxiety because you've got a tool to deal with it.
I love that. It seems like it's a perfect middle ground between kind of standing in your own truth and not necessarily just going along with something maybe you don't agree with, but at the same time validating the person for where they're at and how they feel.
That's right.
It's a good combination. So we talked a little bit on the break about the mother-in-law dynamic, which is the dynamic in relationship that I'm particularly interested in as I'm newly married a few years ago and about to have my first child. So can you share with our listeners a little bit more about how the Third Circle Protocol can help specifically with daughter-in-law and mother-in-law relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I tell my clients always is to understand, first of all, that she's lost her son. And she may be a wonderful, kind, loving person, but there's always going to be a tinge of resentment there. She's lost her son. She hasn't lost him. You've taken him away. You've taken away her son, and you've replaced her in his life. Now, imagine what that feels like. Sometimes that's exacerbated by cultural values. I'm sure you're aware of this, but in Toronto, we have many, many cultures. And depending on the culture that you come from, the especially the first son, always takes care of the mother. And that's a given. And if you don't know that, you're in for a nasty shock. There's nothing that can't be solved by discussing it, any situation with the mother-in-law, as long as the husband's on side and setting boundaries. And as long as she knows she's loved and wanted in the life of the family, within the boundaries or outside the boundaries, whichever way you want to look at it, she's bereft. She's in mourning. And when people are bereft, they fight hard to get back what they lost, either emotionally or physically. I have a client who came to see me who was very upset because her son wasn't talking about her. He wasn't talking to her. And I asked what happened. And she said, my son has just, and notice the language, my son has just had a new baby. And he and his wife went away for the weekend. And when I've been going over there, the place is a mess. I mean, he's used to better than that. So, you know, I don't say anything, but they went away for a weekend. So I went over and I cleaned up. And I said, do you have a key? She said, oh, yes, I have a key. So I said, okay, you cleaned up. Yes. And when they came back, he phoned me and said, don't ever do that again. And they haven't spoken to me since. What did I do wrong? She thought she'd really helped. She thought she'd done the right thing. She had no idea how invasive that was, how inappropriate it was, because it was her son, right? It was a man in her life, and this woman had taken him away. Mm-hmm. So remember that.
Yeah, that is helpful. And I think it, as someone who's never had a son, it's hard to understand that dynamic, but really putting myself in her shoes, that is very helpful. So we talked a little bit about parents of teens and how the protocol can really help. Yes. Parents and couples and then teenage children. And parents of teens are often having issues with communication, as you mentioned. So if a client came to you and asked, how can I understand my teen better? Can you elaborate a little bit more on what you would say to that client?
Yes, I would say, have you asked your teen how you can understand them better? And the answer is, if it's a girl, she just flounces out the room and slams the door behind her. And if it's a boy, he usually just grunts and goes to his computer. I mean, I'm typecasting, but that's yes, generally what it is. So then I give them the concept of what do they want, what do they need, and what are they prepared to give to the relationship. And I suggest they give it to the teen as well. And both of them work on it together. And quite often the first draft is a mishmash because the teen thinks it's a big game and says what they want is to stay all night with their friends. And but it comes right down to it when they do it the second or third time. What do you really, really want? Well, I want to know that I'm loved and I want to be supported. And I want to not go to university when I leave high school. I want to take a year off. So those things begin to come through. And that forms a relationship that you can't break because the teen feels they have power. They've got something to say in this contemporary relationship they have with their parent, but so does the parent have something to say with this up-to-date teen thinking differently. The other thing it does is it gives the teenager a tool for the rest of their life. Once they understand what their values are and what they need in a relationship, they will never make mistakes in relationships. That's a tool for the rest of their life.
Wow, great teachable moment.
Very teachable moment to take to university and whatever, you know, through life.
So it sounds like a lot of what's going on often with teens is them not feeling empowered and not feeling like they have, you know, a say in what they do and don't do, and they want to feel more empowered and have more control in their life.
Yeah, they want to be heard. They are, you know. And part of, and I'm pretty tough when I'm working with the teen and their parent. And I say to them, are you working? Well, no. Okay, so your parents are giving you money to do everything. That comes with a price. When you start working, you'll have more leeway. Oh, suddenly they get excited about working, you know.
So understanding what their wants and needs are, and then you can start to negotiate and discuss more of that with them.
Right.
Okay. Well, we have just about a minute or so left before we go to another break. So I want to touch just briefly about the relationship with our exes, you know, our ex-spouse, ex-lover, ex-partner. which I know is a hot topic. We could probably do a whole show about this topic. So I'm sure we have listeners who are struggling with a relationship with their ex-lover, ex-spouse, ex-partner. As I mentioned, this is often an issue, especially when kids are involved and we're trying to co-parent. I'm sure you've dealt with clients that are having issues in that dynamic. So what can our listeners do to improve the relationship with their ex? If we have a listener that's saying, man, my ex is driving me crazy, or I feel like they're undermining me, what would be a few tips that you would give them, and how could they use the protocol?
Well, one of the first things to do is not vent on Facebook. Do not vent on social media. You will live to regret it. Mm-hmm. Operate from your best self always. Know what your values are and operate from your best self, the best part of you. Because especially with children involved, remember that children are part of you and part of them. So when you're dissing your ex-partner, you're dissing that part of that child. And that child doesn't know what to do with that piece of information. So it's not just you and your partner, your ex-partner you're talking about, but the children in between. Always take the high road and operate from your best self. It'll be hard. It's not easy. Having been there, I've done it. It's not easy. But yes. Remember the goal. The goal is long-term. The goal is not to get back at that person short-term. Mm-hmm. Use your best self.
I love that, really calling out that, you know, if you are saying something negative about your ex, there's an aspect of that ex and that person, a huge aspect in your child. So you're to some extent putting down your child as well. I had not really thought about that before. I think that's super powerful. So thanks for sharing that. So we are going to take another break, but before we do, can you tell our listeners one more time how they can get in touch with you and where your books are available, Georgina?
Sure. The books, both this book and previous books are available on Amazon.com. And you can get hold of me through my website at GeorginaCannon.com. And yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will explore a little bit more about how you can improve all the relationships in your life. We'll be talking specifically about working with aging parents. You're listening to Masters of Reinvention with Angela Watson Robertson and my guest, Georgina Cannon, author of The Third Circle Protocol. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com. Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Tune in to the hit show Raging Skillet Radio, mouthing off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Masters of Reinvention. I'm Angela Watson Robertson. My guest today is Georgina Cannon, who is talking with us about her book, The Third Circle Protocol. And we're talking about how you can learn to relate to yourself and others in a healthy, vibrant, and evolving way. So, Georgina, in this segment, I wanted to talk about the relationship specifically with aging parents. So as we get older and our parents get older, and I'd like to talk about how we can improve those. And this is something, as we talked about during the commercial break, that's really up for me right now, specifically as my father ages and my relationship with him becomes more complicated. So first off, can you tell me a little bit more, tell our listeners a little bit more about why relationships with our parents are so complicated and even become potentially more complicated as they age?
Well, they're complicated because our parents are used to telling us what to do and used to being always right and being the oracle. I cough as I say that.
Yes.
And the balance changes, begins to change. And most often, particularly the father, will resent that more than anybody because they're used to having people do what they're told. You know, the old days of patriarchy, the man ruled the house, the man set the standards. We didn't wash our dirty linen in public. The neighbors never knew about our private life. We kept ourselves to ourselves. Now, suddenly, they're becoming vulnerable. Suddenly, you're going to be making arrangements for them, whether they be drastic, like moving into a senior's home or a hospital, or whether it be slower and getting help in the house. It's very difficult to do that. We found that some of the best way of doing it is have an outside person make that sort of decision with, especially the father. So it might mean, for instance, a social worker going in saying, just come to see who you are. I'm going to come in and see you once a week. We're going to have a chat, play chess, play bridge or whatever, whatever, chat, chat, chat. And then find out if they're mentally competent, because sometimes dementia sets in very slowly and then increases. And you have to increase the attendance in the house. So it's good to start early with some sort of outside visitor. I have friends who are gerontologists who advise me on this part. But we have to operate from their value system, not ours. And it's hard to get our ego out of the way. We think their ego is big. You know, we're doing all the work. Why can't they do it the way they want us to do? Well, if that sounds familiar, that sounds like somebody's father or mother, right? We become their mother or father, and we make it difficult if that's how we act.
I see. Tell me more about what you mean by operating within their value system, and then how can you determine really what their value system is?
Well, I would ask, and you need to do that face to face. It's not something to do over the phone or you know, email or anything. You need to sit down and say, Mom, you know, things are changing. We all change. I'm not 25 anymore. I mean, this is how I would do it. I'm not 25 anymore. And I find I can't run that 3 mile every morning like I used to. I also find that sometimes I'm forgetting names. And I guess that sort of thing's happening to you too. And you've got a couple of years on me. And I would keep it light, very light. And you've got a couple of years on me. So, you know, I'm a planner. I'd like to talk to you what you think the next steps might be for both of us when you're going to need more help. For instance, you might want someone to go shopping for you. don't know if that's a good idea. You might want, and they might say, if it was anything like what I experienced, don't want the people next door. No, they don't want to think I'm going loony or something. No, no, no. It's nothing to do with anybody else. It's just you and me talking. Just you and me. Absolutely. And it'll be a friend that you've met at the bridge club or a friend you've met as far as they know, but it's probably a social worker or someone that comes in to see you or someone that we pay comes in maybe once or twice a week, cooks a couple of meals. You know, actually, if the meals are really good, I wouldn't mind having them at home myself. You know, keep it light, keep it easy so that you're not doing the finger wagging, I told you, parental stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I like the recommendation of keeping it light and you know, almost some of the self-deprecating humor and, you know, really coming at it from a place of not judgment or, you know, or any of that. So as for those of us that are seeing our parents age and starting to make plans for them, how do we manage the emotion? So that's a great practical tip of, you know, here, really, let's just talk to them and really ask them, what do you want? How do you see it? What's your vision? What about all the triggering of emotions or hurt feelings in that conversation, specifically around that role reversal, you know, changing where you feel like you're having to parent your parent? How would someone manage those? And is it really just as simple as just kind of compartmentalizing, or what would you say?
Part of it is compartmentalizing. I'm going to say that, compartmentalizing. But the other part of it is allowing yourself to have those feelings and recognizing that they're perfectly normal, but making sure they stay out of the conversation.
Okay.
You have to put your big girl knickers on and behave like a kind, gentle adult, operating from your values, your best self. And when you feel hurt, upset, disappointed, betrayed, abandoned, all those feelings that come up when we're dealing with aging parents, you do it outside the car, driving on your way home. And find someone to talk to about it, either a therapist or someone to download, because otherwise it just festers inside you. Not a good thing.
Yes.
And the therapist will say you're not alone. Mm-hmm. These feelings are valid, and there are thousands of people like you, mostly women, mm-hmm. in this role, and we all have those feelings. Let's get them out there. Give them air. When you give something air, it dilutes it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about this very similar scenario, but with a parent who you have not particularly ever had a positive relationship with, maybe even a parent you don't particularly like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you're trying as the son or daughter to have a good relationship. And this applies somewhat in my life. You're trying to have a good relationship. You're trying to do what you quote unquote should do. However, you've never really been close. I can see how this will be easier to do with a parent that you've always been really close with.
It's the other way around.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So yeah, tell me more about
because
that.
I'm going to say you, because it makes it easier. You're putting expectations on the relationship that was never there in the first place.
With which parent? The one that you are close to or both?
The one that you weren't close to.
Oh, weren't close to, yes.
Okay. You put expectations that it's suddenly all going to come together and be warm and loving and cozy. Mm-hmm. It's not going to change. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it easier because then you can operate from the intellect rather than the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the emotion out of it, because when the emotion and the intellect work together, the emotion always wins. So therefore, it doesn't work efficiently. If you look at that person, and I keep saying you because you're there.
Yes.
You look at that person and say, this person was named my father. He never played the father role in my life. He's a person that I, by default, have to take care of in this way. I'll do the best that I'm able to, like I would a neighbor that I cared about,
mm-hmm.
and do the job. And it's a job.
Okay, so not necessarily expecting it to make you closer or having any of those expectations.
Not at all.
What about with, you know, I know I've had clients, and we're going to go to break and wrap up here pretty quickly, but I know I've had clients who have said, well, I'm not sure, you know, if I even want to be involved in their care at all. So sometimes that is tough to even know at what level to even be involved at all, depending on how your relationship's been with your parent before. And just really quick before we go, what are your thoughts there?
What would you do if it was a neighbor? Would you let someone just languish in pain, or would you get help? That's what I would say to you.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. All right. Well, we're about out of time today, but before we go, Georgina, please share with our listeners one more time how they can get in touch with you and where your books are available.
Sure, with pleasure. My books are available at Amazon.com, and you can reach me at GeorginaCannon.com or info@GeorginaCannon.com, and I answer every email.
Oh, great. So I want to thank Georgina Cannon for being with me here today and for sharing her work with us. Thank you so much, Georgina. Your book really blessed me, and our conversation today has really helped me, and hopefully it's helped many listeners as well.
Thank you very much. It's been a
pleasure. One final question for you. So since this is Master of Reinvention Radio and I'm the Reinvention Warrior, Georgina, what is your Reinvention Warrior message or your final message for our listeners?
Remember, you are so much more than you seem. And always operate from your best self.
You've been listening to Masters of Reinvention with Angela Watson Robertson, the ultimate guide to changing your life. The only show on the radio to bring together top transformation experts who will show you how to positively change your life, along with expertly researched nutrition and lifestyle advice. See all of the Reinvention Warriors programs and free wellness tips at AngelaWatsonRobertson.com. Experience powerful life reinvention coaching and learn to beat fatigue naturally with our new program, Fatigue Warrior. And be sure to tune in to Masters of Reinvention each month on Transformation Talk Radio.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.